We're reading in the Shamati article number 2 by Bala Sulam, Divinity in Exile. In the Shamati book, it's page 20. You can ask questions at kab.tv. Selected questions relevant to the studied material will be aired live. Again, the writings of Bala Sulam, page 515 in the Hebrew text. In the English Shamati book, it's page 20. Shamati number 2, Divinity in Exile. The Holy Zohar says, He is Shochin, dweller, and she is Shechina, divinity. We should interpret his words. It is known that with regard to the Apollite, that they say that there is no change, as it is written, I, the Lord, change not. All the names and appellations are only with respect to the Kelim, vessels, which is the will to receive included in Malchut, the root of creation. Meaning there is Malchut, called divinity, in which there are all kinds of different desires, and she's filled up by the light, called the dweller, and both of them are as one, he and she, in adhesion, in unity. And what we're capable of speaking of is only on behalf of the vessels, on behalf of Malchut, what she feels herself and the one who fills her up, because there's no more than those two that are together. And that state is given, and that's the only state that exists. There's nothing else. All the other states that Malchut goes through are the various impressions and inspirations that she has internally from what fills her up. The one who fills her up. Again, and all the names and appellations are only with respect to the Kelim, vessels, which is the will to receive included in Malchut, the root of creation. From there it cascades down to this world, to the creatures. All these discernments,
this world and all the other worlds, are also all just impressions of Malchut.
All these discernments, beginning with Malchut, being the root of the creation of the worlds, through the creatures, is named Shechina. The general tikkun, correction, is that the upper light would shine in them in upper completeness. The light that shines in the Kelim is named Shochen, dweller. And the Kelim are generally named Shechina, divinity. In other words, the light dwells inside the Shechina. This means that the light is called Shochen because it dwells within the Kelim. That is, the whole of the Kelim are named Shechina.
Is it clear so far? Yes, well, continue.
Before the light shines in them in upper completeness, we name that time a time of corrections. This means that we make corrections so that the light will shine in them in completeness. Until then, that state is called divinity in exile. It means that there is still no perfection in the upper worlds. Below, in this world, there should be a state where the upper light is within the will to receive. This tikkun is deemed receiving in order to bestow. Meanwhile, the will to receive is filled with ignoble and foolish things that do not make a place where the glory of heaven can be revealed. This means that where the heart should be a tabernacle for the light of God, the light becomes a place of waste and filth. In other words, ignobility captures the whole of the heart. This is called divinity and the dust.
Meaning all kinds of states of Malchut, the way she feels herself, it's all with respect to herself, how she feels herself in incomplete states, not in that one state that exists, but it's hidden from her.
It means that it is lowered to the ground, and each and every one loathes matters of sanctity, and there is no desire whatsoever to raise it from the dust. Instead, they choose ignoble things, and this brings on the sorrow of the Shekhinah, when one does not make a place in the heart that will become a tabernacle for the light of God.
The heart is called each and everyone's personal desire. The general malchut is divided. Again, it's all the personal, a personal impression. The desires are divided into many, many different categories. And every one of them, instead of yearning for oneness, unity, feeling as one that him and she are one, that Malchut will be one by being similar to the Creator and being in complete coupling with the Creator. Instead of that, each and every one, each and every desire is in a totally different direction. Different meaning opposite. There are no more than two directions, either towards adhesion or the other direction. That's it. So this state is called an exile, shattering darkness. And from that state, we have to rise. Now, this state does not exist. When we regain correction, we see that there's none else besides him. And everything was just an illusion, but that illusion is our entire life. That unconsciousness that we're now in is a concealment given to us deliberately, so that with it we'll be able to educate ourselves, develop ourselves in a way that we will learn the examples from connection and adhesion, and by the actions that the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us, we will build from ourselves, due to the concealment, thanks to the concealment, the image of the Creator. If there was no concealment, we would adhere to the Creator as a point and no more, the point of Malchut that adheres to the first nine sefirot. But since there is a concealment, the Malchut can take the qualities of the first nine sefirot and develop by them in a way that she builds these first nine sefirot by herself as her own qualities. Directly, Malchut feels the relation of the Creator to her as different pleasures coming to her. When the concealment arrives, it allows Malchut to first guard herself from receiving, because the concealment does not allow receiving, but then Malchut herself acquires the Masach, and then to that extent, to the extent there's a Masach that keeps Malchut from receiving, then the light that she receives is no longer a light of direct pleasure. But she first recognizes the relation of the giver through that pleasure. Through all those pleasures that the host puts on the table for me, I don't want to get to know the pleasure directly. I want to get to know his relation that lies in it. His care and attention, concern, all of the good relations that are coming from him to me. Meaning I want to recognize the host. So the pleasures are just means. Meaning, if I have a masach over the pleasure, I allow myself to start getting to know the giver of the pleasure. If I truly do so, then in the pleasure, I get to know him. And then I can also make that returning light, meaning the same relation from me to him. Of course, it all happens by the help of the light that reforms. But then I can make what's called returning light, and I make it according to how I discover the Creator's relation, the host's relation to me. I can't give him pleasures back. I want to make my relation to him similar. This is what's called me for him and him for me. And in this new relation, this returning light, I'm starting to feel what is it that I want to give to him if I want to resemble him. And then comes a state where I receive the pleasure, and that pleasure that I receive and enjoy is how I bring him contentment. And that's called receiving in order to bestow. And that's what we do. So all the articles are actually talking about one action, and it's all towards the creature. The first state and the third state are in Ensof. There's no difference with respect to the Creator. With respect to the creature, he is detached from these states. And that is specifically what allows him to build his image as the Creator. And then his image will be called Adam, from the word Dome, similar to the Creator. So this exile is a necessary state. The question is only, how do we use this exile? The exile must be. Just like Rabbi Akiva was happy and he rejoiced in the ruin. But from the place that is the lowest, you just have to discover, as Rabbi Akiva discovered, the point where you start making the leap from. And we have to realize it, that the recognition of evil is the first state, the first phase, to discover ourselves in exile. Then we'll be able to set the right direction towards redemption. And redemption is the just the difference. The only difference is the Aleph, meaning the Creator, between exile and redemption. And it all depends on whoever discovers it, meaning it's all towards the person or the pieces of the Malchut.
Sorry, John from Chicago asks, how can we begin to feel that we are not adapted in the current, that we are unaware in the present state? Until now it's just a concept. How can we feel that we're unaware, unconscious?
We have no chance of feeling what's in the right direction on our path to revelation, to discovering divinity and the dweller that dwells in it, unless we build that state in the group. In a way that this is the place, that's it, no more. And in that group, we have to build the relations between us that are like Malchut of Ein Sof, and discover the Creator that's within us, just as in the light of Ein Sof. If we try to do it in any other situation, direction, circumstance, status, it's just wrong.
Christian from Mexico asks, how is it possible to build this system of relationships above pleasure What do I do about the pleasure itself?
It depends on what are you going to enjoy from. We have to demand pleasure. We should be demanding pleasure. We shouldn't be yearning for limitations and self-mortifications. On the contrary, we have to demand pleasure. But pleasure in what? Do you take pleasure in love, connection, love of friends, love of the Creator? Yes. No one tells you you have to cry. Our vessel, the will to receive, always demands and measures itself by what fulfills itself. So the Masach and Or Chozer, or the Tzimtzum, the restriction that I make, it's not that I make the restriction and suffer. That's not wholeness. That's incorrect. If in any action you make, you feel suffering, then it's not a whole action. It's not in Kedusha, in holiness, bestowal. Perhaps in some indirect way, through recognition of evil, it will lead you to see that you have to change. But you have to know that, in fact, it's incorrect. A spiritual action must be joyful. There is no suffering in any way, shape, or form in any spiritual step forward. It's just not wholeness. When do I know that I make an action of bestowal that I do and I enjoy it as I bestow? It's just like the example of the mother and the baby. She enjoys more than the baby. There has to be joy in every action. It says to benefit the creatures, to delight the creatures, because we discover that in the actions of bestowal, there's a pleasure that's 620 times greater. It's what we read from letter 8 from Baal HaSulam, that we see from the dawn of humanity until this day how many people have bittered their life with all kinds of suffering and self-mortifications in order to find a taste in the slavery for the Creator. What taste they can find if they go on the path of self-mortifications? It's not the correct path. On the contrary, did you see that we do anything like that? That we have fasts or start to doing all kinds of things like that to ourselves? No, it's the opposite. It's our human egoism that tells us that this is how we move closer to the Creator. This is how all kinds of other religions did it, because they emerged from the ego. When the holiness departed, in the times of Rabbi Akiva, the times of the ruin of the temple, then people stayed in darkness. And over generations, they began to understood all of this from their will to receive. So from the will to receive, it seems like if I enjoy, then this is like, it has to do with this world and it's a shell. And those who suffer, if I limit myself, if I just sit in one pose and think about one thing and eat half a cup of rice a day, so I'm a saint. On the contrary, to delight the creatures is the goal. And if you want to carry out that goal in each and every step, you have to reach pleasure, but of bestowal. That is where the problem lies. How can I enjoy bestowal if I'm opposite? That's why the light comes and reforms. It's a very simple thing. We just have to maintain that principle all the time. And there's no room for mortifications or suffering. On the contrary, if we aim towards connection to begin with, we have to feel that this is what brings us livelihood and pleasure. And therefore, our vut, mutual guarantee, is such an important thing, because it influences everyone with importance and greatness and elation and high spirits, and it gives you oxygen. Meaning the pleasure is not forbidden, it's necessary. And the pleasure is an indication of progress. And the pleasure is not forbidden for the creature, but it's the form of the pleasure. Just as I now enjoy receiving, just as I now enjoy hurting someone, controlling someone, oppressing someone, overriding someone somehow, being greater, better, more profiteering, and so on. So, inverting that pleasure would be, how will I relate to someone I love? The example is my baby or someone close to me. And if I do so with a person who is far from me, then it's really a learning playground for me, where I can see how much I change or not. How much do I enjoy bestowing to others? They stay others, they stay far from me, but I correct myself so as to bestow to others and enjoy that bestowal. If I don't enjoy, it doesn't count that I actually do something and work. The intensity, the power of my action is not how much I give to him, but how much I enjoy it in my vessels. And this is how we advance. This is a point that I don't know how many words should be added to it, but it has to be clear. This is where all the scrutinies are. Yes.
Then from Adin asks, what does it mean to bring contentment to a force that I have no idea about? Jakob from Germany also asks, how do I...
Excellent. Good. I don't know how to bring contentment to the Creator. In general, who the Creator is, what is it, where is it, I don't know what to imagine. What, some monster, some spirit, what is it? But therefore, you were given an entire world. And through that world, you need to know that if you bestow upon the world, you'll discover that force, and you'll feel that you bestowed to Him. And in order to reach Him from the love of the created beings, you come to the love of the Creator. Yes, please.
Regarding mortifications, a student from Israel asks, why are we fasting today if we don't need mortifications today on the 9th of Av?
We make a symbol that the state we're in, the farthest, remote state from the correction, our will to receive needs to come to a state of tzimtzum, restriction, and from that point, the corrections begin. So even if we're not yet ready, capable of making the tzimtzum from the recognition that our will to receive is bad to us. Tzimtzum in spirituality means that you don't receive light and you want to build that system of receiving light only through Masachan Ochozel, through a new opposite connection towards the Creator, which is through Masachan returning light. And this restriction, the Tzimtzum, appears to us in five ways, in five vessels. We have five desires, the root 1, 2, 3, 4, and we have a restriction over each of them. This is the no eating, no sexual relations, no any oiling or no showering, and no wearing, not wearing leather. And These are just symbols that come as a result of roots and branches to symbolize the restriction. And after we come to the recognition of the exile, which is not so simple to reach, from that point we say, that's it, I have to correct myself, and then I make the restriction, and then I start coming closer. Moving on to the Zohar.
Moving on to the next part.